Happy Father's Day to all who are fathers with us, and we pray God's blessings upon every family represented here. And we want to remind the fathers who are here with us that there's a special way in which we want to acknowledge and celebrate the fathers in our midst. So please don't go away after the service. The service doesn't end until after the meal is over, and that's on the outside, okay? And on this Father's Day, may I invite you to turn with me to what the Scripture says of the Almighty God and His people. Let me read to you from Romans chapter 8. And I'll read from verses 14 to 17. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory. And as we come together to celebrate Father's Day, some come knowing of wonderful fathers in them that they've gone through. Some come with not so good an experience and not so good such memories of what their father had been. But nevertheless, every one of us have a reason to celebrate Father's Day. And it is that all of us have available to us the perfect Father, the Almighty God, as a Father who is in heaven. And so even as we honor all the fathers in our midst, we have the wonderful opportunity to honor our Heavenly Father. And it is from the Heavenly Father that the fathers on earth have been named. And from the passage that I've read to you, it is clear that when we talk about sons and children, heirs and Abba Father, we speak of the believer, the one who confesses Christ and calls Jesus Christ Savior and Lord. We speak of the believer in terms of a divine family relationship. Turn around and say, in Christ we are family. Very often, we just say those words, but we don't really mean it, because if we really meant it, we would make an effort to live it. So today, we're going to talk about what it is to be in divine relationship and how we may relate one to another, knowing that the Almighty God, who sees everything, who knows everything, who right now is looking over us, wants us to relate in a way that is befitting our membership in His family. Here in verse 14, we are told that those who are led by the sons of God, so those who are sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. If you are a child of God, now every child of God is called a son. Why? Because we are all in Christ Jesus the Son. All who confesses Christ are in Christ. And Christ is eternally God the Son. And here it says that those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. What does it mean? It's in the book of Galatians. Let me read to you. In the book of Galatians, chapter 4, he says, what I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave. In other words, if you're just a little baby, you're born into God's kingdom and still remain a baby, you don't know all the wonderful blessings that are available to you. Just like a baby or toddler, few months old, still in the mother's arms, doesn't know what's going on. But sons are those who have matured in God, have grown in the knowledge, have grown in the grace of God, and learned to walk with God. Sadly, you can be a Christian and call yourself a Christian for 40 years or 50 years and still not be a son of God, because your life has not been led in the power and the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. You were a child 40 years ago and you're still a child today. Why? Because we have not learned to live as sons of God. And so, what does this scripture passage say? In Galatians 4, we are told that, because you are sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And the Spirit who calls out Abba, Father, empowers us, enables us to live as the children of God. So then we are no longer slaves, but we are sons in Christ Jesus. So it's about believing and acting upon the Word of God. And verse 14 says, those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. And it is about learning and daring to trust God so as to be willing to surrender our will to His will. Daring to say, God says this, I'm going to do it. Just like Sam said earlier. The Bible says, clap your hands, all you nations. So when we come to church, don't be shy, don't be embarrassed. Dare to clap your hands because God says so. God says, lift up holy hands. And people say, I lift up holy hands. Why? They're shy, they're embarrassed, they're insecure. Insecurity is a common thing that afflicts many of us. And when we are led by the Spirit of God, we know our security in Christ. We know our identity in Christ. Therefore, we no longer need to feel embarrassed or shy or dare not do what the things that we normally do. Because we see others doing it, we think, oh, well, they are a bit funny. I'm not going to do it. Here it says, those who are the sons of God, those who are growing in God, they are led by the Spirit of God because it is the Spirit that gives life. So what's the opposite then? It then says, if we are, in verse 15 and 16, because you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. If we are led by the Spirit of God, we're no longer afraid to do what God tells us to do. Amen? We're no longer afraid to put our faith into action. What if? What if? What if? Very often, the what ifs blocks us from actually acting upon the Word of God. So it says, instead of having a spirit of sonship and living as sons of God, these people go back to having a spirit that makes them a slave again to fear. The contrast between a spirit that makes us fearful again is to say that even though we confess Christ, yet we do not know our relationship with God the Father. Because we are connected to God the Father by God the Holy Spirit. Today, people talk in terms of, yeah, these people, they call themselves Christians, but yet they do not know the Father. And you may have heard of the term, they have an orphan spirit. They have a father, but the father is not connected to them. They are not in relationship to the father. So as far as life is concerned, they live as though they are an orphan. That is why, because they're orphans, many things they do out of fear. They do out of insecurity. And this is something that is common to everyone. Feeling insecure. Feeling inadequate. Whenever you ask someone to come up, I'm not so sure I want to go up. Why? We feel inadequate. We are afraid we might be made to feel embarrassed. Oh, I'm shy. Shyness is just another word for I'm afraid. Oh, I'm a bit anxious. Anxious means I'm fearful. We water down the terms, but the underlying emotion is the same. It's an insecurity. It's a fear. Because we feel that we are inadequate. We feel that we are inferior. We feel that we are not good enough. And this all comes from the fact that since Adam and Eve separated from God, there is an alienation a spirit of alienation, a separateness that causes us to no longer have a relationship, a living relationship with our Heavenly Father who made us. And this spiritual state gives us the sense of abandonment, a sense of loneliness, a sense of alienation and isolation. So even when we go to a big crowd where some faces are familiar, yet we want to hide in a corner. We want to do our own thing. We don't want others to come and interrupt. Because there's a sense of alienation. We feel that, well, somehow I'm not connected with the rest. You find that people will go to church week after week, month after month, they'll sit in the same corner and not be able to relate to other people. Why? This is the orphan spirit. The orphan spirit that puts in them that alienation, the sense of loneliness and isolation. And this is the spiritual state, like I've said, which has come since the fall of Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden because of the alienation between man and God. This is a spiritual thing. Physically, we might be close to one another, and yet in a spiritual sense, we might be far apart. And this orphan spirit, which has come through fallen humanity, has permeated every race. Doesn't matter whether we are white, yellow, brown, green, or blue. If you are human, this orphan spirit applies. Because it's a separation from God who makes us complete. Without God, we are incomplete. And it was this orphan spirit that aroused the sense of inferiority and inadequacy and insecurity in Cain that prompted him to be jealous and angry and upset because his brother did better than him in offering a sacrifice that was pleasing to God. And his was not. And so instead of asking God for forgiveness, God, sorry, I didn't do the right thing. Let me come back to you and do the right thing. Instead, what did he do? He got angry with the brother. He got jealous of the brother. He said, this guy's the cause of my problems. And he killed the brother. Instead of looking at the problem and saying, it's in me. I did not do what I should have done in the presence of God. And having recognized where I've gone wrong, I chose not to admit my mistake, repent, and do the right thing. And it was this same orphan spirit that caused many earthly fathers to fail in their marriages, that causes family breakups, because they didn't know what it was to relate to a father. So they didn't know how to be a father. And so they, as they grew up alienated, so they raised a new generation who also were alienated from their fathers. And here's a reminder to all of us who are Christians that we do not need to let this curse continue from generation to generation. Right? Because in Christ, every curse is broken and paid for by the blood of Jesus. And as we come to know the Heavenly Father, find our security, our love, and our affirmation in the Heavenly Father, we can then do a new thing. Amen? Now, this is not just for every male. Every woman, it applies the same. Because when we talk of sons of God, we're not just talking to the men. We are talking to all who confess Christ. Because sonship is always in Christ the Son. And so whether we are male or female, man or woman, father or mother, it is in our security, in our relationship with God, that we are able to be the mother or the father, the brother or the sister that God has called us to be. Without the security of knowing that God is our Father, without the affirmation that we are loved by God and we belong to God, there's a home that we go to. We are not orphans roaming on the streets. Then we are able to do what God calls us to do. And it is this orphan spirit, whether it's in the church or outside the church, that contributes to the emotional and physical and the psychological life of a society and a community. That is why you have quarrels, wars. I am great, you are not so great. I have to be on top, you must be below me. There's a sense of competitiveness and competition, a one-upmanship. Why? Because we do not know our security. We do not know where we stand. And verse 15 tells us, but you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. Once upon a time, we were slaves, right? Slaves to sin. But now we are no longer slaves to sin. In Christ, we've been set free. We sang the song earlier, right? We've been set free. We are now a child of God. We are no longer slaves to sin. Therefore, the door is open for us to rise up, to grow in Christ, and allowing the Holy Spirit to take hold of us, to live as we can be, as God's children, as God's sons and daughters. In this reminder here, say, I have the Spirit of Christ. I do not have the spirit of fear. Amen? Remind yourself on this, the Father's Day, because you know the Heavenly Father. Because you know the Heavenly Father, you no longer need to have the spirit of fear. And it says, but you have received the spirit of sonship, and by the Spirit of God, we can cry to God and call Him Abba, Father. Ab is Father in Hebrew, and Abba is the Aramaic term for daddy. That's the term that our Lord Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane as He was preparing Himself for the ultimate sacrifice. He said, Father, if it be possible, let the cup be passed from me. Nevertheless, let not my will but thy will be done. When He said Father, He used the term Abba, the term that Jews of His time would call daddy. It speaks of an intimate relationship. It's not something that very formal. He knows the Father experientially. He is connected and related and intimately at one with the Father. So our Lord Jesus called the Almighty God daddy. No Jew in the time of our Lord Jesus would call Almighty God, Abba, or Daddy. It was our Lord Jesus who introduced and taught His disciples, from now on, you can know the Father, you can know His goodness, you can know His love, you can know His affirmation, you can find security in the Almighty God as your Father, and so you can come before Him and be intimate with Him, get to know Him, draw near Him, climb on His lap, sit on His knee and said, Daddy. This is the kind of relationship that is open to us who know God. And so, the Spirit Himself, in verse 16, will testify with our spirit that we are God's children. This is only possible when the light of the revelation that comes from heaven bursts into our life. And so, boom, oh. I know that God is my Father. I know because Christ Jesus is the Son. I have confessed my sins before Christ Jesus because I really believe that on the cross of Calvary, He paid for all my sins. And knowing that all my sins are forgiven, I am now right with God. Because the Bible says so. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, we might be the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. And because of that, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Whether you are male or female, you are a new creation. The past is gone and the new has come. And all this is not relying on your own understanding, not relying on your own piety, not relying on your own good works, but relying on God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 and 18. All rests upon the grace of God. Through the grace of God, through the mercies of God, God opened the way for us through the Lord Jesus Christ so that we may come to know Him intimately. We may come before Him and sit on the lap and say, Daddy, just like the Philip runs to the daddy, sits on his lap, climbs up and says, I want to put my pretend glasses into your bag. He doesn't make an appointment. If you know God as daddy, you can come to Him anytime. And if we are children, we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. In other words, whatever belongs to the Almighty God is yours. Say amen. Because you are to be inherited. Is that what the word heir means? You are going to inherit whatever is from the Father. You are co-heirs with Christ. Everything that belongs to the Father, all the authority, all the power, all the love, all the peace, all the life of the Father is yours to inherit and to receive and to enjoy. Is that good news? Yes. And so, Christians, we are called to be led by the Spirit into the Spirit of sonship, knowing that belonging, knowing that connection, knowing the affirmation, knowing that love that flows from the throne above. The orphan spirit is a spirit that is relying on its own strength. It's relying on its own ability because it does not know the connection with the Father. It is still in the sense of abandonment. Just as Adam and Eve were separated from God and cast out of the Garden of Eden, and they were abandoned to their own resources. The orphan spirit relies on its own strength because it does not know of company. It is still in its loneliness and still in isolation, separated from God. And there are certain things the Bible reminds us that we who are led by the Spirit can enjoy and have. And these are milestones that we can look at and remind ourselves. And I'm speaking to every man and every woman and every child who will come to God the Father and say, I'm your child because I believe in Jesus Christ the Son. And some of these characters and qualities, they may seem like overlapping, but never mind, this is what the Bible says. The one thing is, the orphan spirit is a spirit that is a slave to fear. I'm afraid of this. I'm afraid of that. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't eat this because it's too hot. I can't drink that because it's too cold. No, you can do what God says you can do. The orphan spirit is insecure. And because it is insecure, it is unable to relate to people because whenever we look at someone, we look at them, we line them up, and we begin to measure them. Is the person better than me or not so as good as me? Is the person more pretty than me or less pretty than me? Taller than me or shorter than me? Right? The moment we look at a person, what do we normally do? We measure them. Is that true? Is that true? When we look at someone, we measure them. We look at the clothes. I wonder where they come from. Look at the car they drive. I wonder who they are. Right? We look at the people outwardly and we judge them outwardly and we make a quick, brief measurement and we put them on a grade above or below me. Why? Because we have a sense of insecurity. Because if we knew that we were of infinite worth, we won't bother to measure, would we? If we knew that we were of infinite worth, we won't bother to measure someone, look at them up and down and weigh them and think them out where they come from, north, south, east, or west. It is insecurity that causes us to look at all the markers of success, worldly success. And once we measure a person, the next human tendency is to be jealous or envious or resentful of someone else's success in terms of our measuring them, whether they are better than us or not as good as us. Oh, I only got a master's degree. That guy's got a PhD. I drive a Toyota, but that guy drives something else. The orphan spirit is insecure, and so is jealous of the success of others, envious of the success of others, or is very quick to criticize and comment. Why? There's a sense of self-righteousness in us. Why? Because our security rests upon who we think we are. Our security does not rest on what God says we are. And so you find that those with an orphan spirit, they will be constantly battling jealousy and insecurity. And because they are insecure, they easily take offense. You can just say a very nice and innocent word and not have any malicious thought, and yet you can be misinterpreted, misunderstood, and get aggro and upset. Easily offended people are insecure people. And on the other hand, those with a spirit of sonship, those who are secure in the Father's love, those who know that their God is the infinite, almighty, omnipotent, omniscient God. And so they have the hyper dynamite ballistic power of God. Remember I told you that? Ephesians 1, verse 19. We have the super hyper dynamite power of God. We know who we are. We don't need to compare ourselves with people around us. We may look different, each one of us, knowing God inside us, we have the infinite. And in the infinite, we don't need to compare with the finite. Amen? But the orphan spirit is constantly battling this tendency to measure and measure this, measure this and measure that. And so they have a hard time. And so when they hear someone else being praised, when they hear someone else being successful, when they hear someone else doing well, they are unable to celebrate and share in the joy of someone else's success. Oh, well, big deal. So what? That's the kind of attitude they have. Now, that may be okay outside in the world, but in the family of God, we should share with each other, we should celebrate each other's success just as we share in each other's sorrows. Then the orphan spirit yearns to earn other people's love. We try to do this and do that to earn other people's affirmation. We want to be stroked on the back and say, oh yeah, doing well. We try to earn love. Whereas those who are in Christ, those who know the love of God, they know that it is by God's grace. It is by God's mercy. We don't need to strive to labor to do as best as we can to earn someone else's love. Because we realize that no matter how hard we try, we can never earn the love of the Heavenly Father. Because the Bible says, while we were dead in sin, while we were dead in trespass, while our works and our lives were stinking, absolutely stinking all the way to heaven, God says, I love you, and I've sent my Son to save you. This is the grace of God that brings to us the love of God. And so, whilst the orphan spirit tries his or her best to earn someone else's love, those who know God, those who know Christ, those who are led by the Spirit of Christ and the Spirit of God, they know of the love of the Heavenly Father. They know it is out of God's mercy, out of God's grace. And so they stand secure in what God says, not in what they do. And so those who are led by the Son, by the Spirit of God, those who are children of God, one thing you can see is they are a loving people. Not because they are born that way, but because they know of the love of the Father. They are secure. And because they are secure, they are able to love other people. Just as our Lord Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And then the third point about those who are living as sons of God. Not only are they secure, not only are they loving, they are also a grateful people. Grateful not just to the Father, but as a grateful people, we are appreciative of the people around us. We are appreciative of the kindness and the goodness that others have shown to us. And we do not take each other for granted. Amen? Why? Because those who are led by the Spirit, they are a grateful people. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, we enter His courts with thanksgiving. We enter the gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We give thanks and praise to His name. Because we know God, we come into His presence with gratitude and thanksgiving. And because we know God, we will also be a grateful and thankful people as a community. So as we live together, we do not take each other for granted. But whenever someone does a kind thing to us, we express our gratitude. We are secure enough to acknowledge someone has done something good to us. Is that right? How would you feel if you do everything for the person next to you? You serve the person a big meal, and the person just eats it and then walks away, doesn't even wave to you. It's as though you don't exist. But as a Christian community, as God's family, because we are secure, we show love one to another. And an expression of that love is also that expression of gratitude and thanksgiving one to another. We become appreciative of each other. As we appreciate each other, what are we doing? We're showing honor. We honor the Father and we honor the Father's children. And one of the outflow of security is a humble people. See, people who do not know God will boast in this achievement, boast in that achievement. Sadly, the churches oftentimes do not know any better. So when a visiting speaker comes, if this guy is just an ordinary fisherman, they say, oh, well, a fisherman has come to preach. But if the guy comes with a PhD from theological seminary, they'll have posters and advertisements 3 or 4 weeks in advance. Why? This guy's a PhD from a university. That guy is just only a fisherman from Galilee. Humble. The orphan spirit gains attention and affirmation by its achievements and then alerting everyone to say, hey, see how good I am. They become proud. Pride is something that is not, that is frowned. Pride is something that God frowns upon. The Bible says, before you fall, what happens? You're proud. Pride goes before a fall. But God gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but God gives grace to the humble. You see, it is only when we are secure are we able to be humble. So when someone, you see this mess on the floor, everybody else is nicely dressed, you say, oh, I'd want to do something below my station. But if you are humble, doesn't matter what station, if your job needs to be done, you will do it. Because why? You are secure in Christ. You don't need to put on airs. Our Lord Jesus, knowing that He comes from God and is returning to God, what did He do? He took the towel, He took the basin, He took on the job of the slave, and He washed the disciples' feet. This is security. He is the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He knows where He is, who He is. He knows where He comes from. He knows where He's going back to. And yet, whilst on earth, He took the basin, He took the towel, and He washed the disciples' feet. And then after washing them, He says, I've set an example for you to Do it. So we who are in Christ, we shall learn to be humble like our Lord Jesus is humble and serve others as our Lord Jesus served others. Because he said, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Son of David, he did not come to serve but to be served. It is in our serving others that we learn the greatness. It is as we take responsibility that we find we have authority. And so, 1 Peter says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So we who are led by the Spirit, we who are sons of God, whether men or women, let us be secure, let us be loving, let us be grateful people, and let us also be a humble people. If there's anything to boast, what do we boast? We boast in Jesus Christ our Lord. And then, whilst the orphan spirit with that sense of internal alienation relies on doing this, relies on doing that to find excitement, to find purpose and meaning in life, we who know God, we just do what God tells us to do and we find joy and contentment. See, those who do not know Christ, they be always looking for the next movie. When's the next blockbuster coming? When's the next exciting TV miniseries coming? We are looking for physical stimulation. We're looking for visual stimulation. We don't know what it is to have contentment from within. And so, sadly, you find around us people drifting from relationship to relationship, and they look to physical gratification, drugs, drug addiction, self-indulgence. What they're doing, they're trying to fill a hole inside their spirit that only God can do for them. Whereas those who are living in relationship with God, they have a direction and a purpose. And as they draw near to God, they find the joy of the Lord. In His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. So when we come to seek God, we find the joy and the purpose and the ultimate satisfaction in life. Psalm 16 verse 11 tells us, in His presence is fullness of joy. And at His right hand, pleasures forevermore. And 1 Timothy 6 verse 6 tells us, godliness with contentment is great gain. The direction for us who are led by the Son, who are led by the Spirit of God, is towards God. And as we are led towards God, and as we draw near to God and do what God tells us to do, we will find that godliness is what gives us contentment. And this is what is good for us. And whilst those who do not know Christ are driven by a need for success, those who know Christ, they know that in Christ they can be more than conquerors. More than conquerors, not in achieving their plans, but in achieving God's plans. They are more than conquerors, not in doing what they want to do, but in doing what God wants them to do. We are more than conquerors because we know of the love of God, apart from which nothing can separate us from. This love for God is to empower us, is to enable us to do what God tells us to do, and to live such a godly life that others can see God in us. And there's one other feature about being a Christian, is that if we are Christians, others should not see us as pain in the neck. Oh, here comes that guy again. I better walk to the other side. Why? In the way we speak, in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way we do things, we can be a pain in the neck. But on the other hand, those who know Christ, those who are in Christ, they should live that attractive life where people enjoy being with us. They find our company enjoyable. We should be attractive. Amen? Christians, we should live the attractive life, because wherever Jesus went, he attracted crowds. Of course, there are some who criticize him, but by and large, the crowds love to be with our Lord Jesus. And our Lord Jesus said, let the children come to me. Let the children come to me. We should be attracting people. And whereas without the Holy Spirit, whether Christian or non-Christian, we may be prone to anger and fits of rage. But where the Spirit of Christ rules, there should be peace. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 says, our Lord Jesus Christ, he is our peace. So whenever we are disturbed, whenever our heart is disturbed, or our life is disturbed, or the things in that we have planned for is disturbed, we can easily continue and get angry and upset, or we can come back and say, hang on, I do not need to be angry. I do not need to be disturbed. I do not need to be offended. I choose to turn to Christ because he is my peace. For us, peace is not an abstract term. For us, peace is a person, and his name is Jesus Christ. Earlier I said, we who are in Christ, we are safe, we are secure. Why? Because we have a confidence and boldness that comes from knowing that Jesus Christ is our righteousness. Knowing that Jesus Christ, the Lord of righteousness, he is our righteousness. And therefore, as Proverbs 28 verse 1 says, we can be confident, we can be bold, we can be secure. The righteous are as bold as lions. And just one last character I'd like to add to you. There are many more you can scour through the Bible. One last thing is, as God's family, as God's children who are growing in maturity, not little babies, but those who are growing in maturity, we choose to come together and to live in unity as a family. I'd like to read to you Psalm 133, verse 1 to 3. Speaking about today on this, the Father's Day, we remind ourselves of the unity that the Father delights in and rejoices in when he sees it in his family. How good and pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity. The last verse says, for there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore. When we come together, and if we make every effort, because we are secure, because we are loving, because we are grateful and thankful to God, because we know who we are, then we can choose to do our best to maintain the unity of the family in the bond of peace, in the love of God. And there, as we come together, God will command his blessings, even life forevermore. And coming together in unity is not about you doing what I want or me doing what you want. Coming together in unity is to do what the Father wants. Amen? What does the Father want? The Father wants us to be disciple makers. The Father wants us to go and make disciples of all peoples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them all that he has commanded. This is what it is. To be a Christian is not just simply going to church on a Sunday and doing this thing or doing that thing. To be a Christian is to fulfill the Father's command upon our lives. And as we come together in unity, as we do the task that the God has called us and commissioned to us to do, there he will command the blessings, life. Life for all of us, life for the congregation, life for the family, and life that flows out of us to bring life to many more others. So it's clear from this passage here that the greatest gift to mankind is to receive the Father who is in heaven through Christ Jesus the Son, so that we may no longer be alienated, but once again be reconnected to the Father and enjoy the love and affirmation, the protection and the blessings of the Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus. And we ask that you speak into our hearts today, that we will make a deliberate, conscious choice, that we will choose to live as led by your Spirit, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of Christ himself. Lord, as we come in surrender to your word, as we come in surrender to the Almighty God, God the Holy Spirit, Lord, we come knowing that we will receive the safety and security of belonging to the God Almighty and to know him as our Father in heaven, through Christ Jesus the Son. And in his name we pray. Amen.